again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I have spent a good bit of time today trying to prepare for tomorrow. And one of the things I did is I've downloaded, you know, what it makes me think about is obviously many years ago, I mean, we go back to the 1990s. I mean, some people say, when was that? Is that in the history book somewhere? Is that before, you know, before they had the round wheels? I was trying to do, and I did it for MetaView, the media stuff. But, you know, my attitude was, even back then, it wasn't as refined as it became. But initially, it's supposed to be an aid to the worship service, not a focus of the worship service. We had the projector. You know, that's back, you know, way back when we had they had initially a slide projector, which I, you know, the thing that I remember was there was someone else who was doing it, a woman, and she's, you know, basically said, please, would you help? So I did it, and it was, we had, you know, for a song, you'd have 3-5 slides, whatever, and you'd sometimes go back and forth and then go to the next song. And I thought, okay, the problem is when you look at that tray of slides, I don't know if you put them all in order, you don't, and if you're, especially because you're going back and forth, you don't know where one song ends and the next one begins without kind of, so what I did is I put a little gap, I put, you know, the 3 songs for one song, the 5 for the next song, the 4 for the next, whatever it was. And it was kind of like, she said, you know, oh. And I remember her words, you have the gift of slides. You know, but see, that was the, you know, the engineer in me. But even then, I thought, okay, what we're doing is, because when we got to in Birmingham at OMPC, Oak Mountain Presbyterian Church, yes, when we got there, you know, they did have dual projectors. It was a bigger church. The important thing to me about having those projectors in there is holding a hymnal is one thing, but I wasn't holding a hymnal. During that time, I had both arms full, one kid in each arm. You know, and that was marvelous go through the singing during the worship service, and it was basically every time I had, you know, the one kid in each arm, you know, obviously the small ones. I didn't take the bigger ones because I guess Eric, I don't remember how, anyway, I don't remember, but it was a joy because it freed up the hands. So in a very real sense, I saw that as an aid. But, you know, as I've continued to mature, you know, there was a focus to try to get things online, you know, because we actually broadcast online back in the, like, 99, 2000, when we had a, you know, an actual modem, you know, audio type modem. And, I mean, this was, we were leading edge. Because of the fact we had limited bandwidth, we had only one listener. Because there was somebody in town who was stuck at home. And it was basically for the last few weeks of his life that he was able to effectively attend the worship service. And those were that was my purpose. And I did a few things that got a little artsy, craftsy, and whatnot, but I try to make a focus. The objective is to convey ideas. But one of the other things that I had trouble with is it really has it It was there then, and I didn't understand it. And I couldn't explain it well, and I think I can now. But it's become so much entertainment. I think what you see in the very liturgical type churches, it's very much a ceremony that you must go through. It's a ritual that you do. And especially in the Protestant community, they kind of backed away from the ritual. And, you know, because I didn't know what this was until recently. Because, you know, I kept hearing say we use the regulative principle of worship. And I thought, okay, what does it mean? And I never got an explanation. Well, there's a regulative principle and there's the other one. That one. Anyway, there's basically two ideas. The regulative principle is the idea that you can only do what you see in the Bible, whereas the other one is a little bit more open, a little more flexible. And again, the details is really a non-issue. And what you can see in that is that, because, you know, they did this a couple times at MetaView, and obviously you see it a lot of times. If you do like a little play or something of that nature during the worship service, that's stepping outside of the regulative principles. But, you know, where did you find that? Calvin. And over the years, his principles changed because they're a definition of man, not the Lord. Because there is no formality, a specific thing you must do at a worship service. Why is that? Simply because the worship service that has become so common today is never called for in Scripture. In Corinthians, I won't pursue that. There's the. Well, maybe I will. Yes, 14, 1 Corinthians 14. I'll use the ESV since it's easier to read. You know, what then, brothers? Verse 26, when you come together, each one is a hymn, a lesson, a revelation, a tongue, an interpretation. Let all things done for building up. If I speak in a tongue, let there be only one or two, or at most three, and each in turn, let someone interpret. But if there's no one to interpret, let them keep silent in the church and speak to himself and God. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If a revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, so that all may learn and all be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to prophets. For God is not a God of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. The women should keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but should be in submission, as the law also says. If there's anyone that desires to learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is shameful for a woman to speak at church. Anyway, it goes on, but the last verse, but let all things be done decently and in order. And so, especially PCA and a lot of Reformed churches, they'll grab that, you know, the decency and order idea. And it actually becomes a joke. But you ignore the rest of the passage. Because the idea of, you know, I wasn't going to do this, the idea of one person behind a pulpit speaking a monologue is completely opposite to what this says. It's completely opposite. A couple things. Verse 31, for all can prophesy one by one so that each may learn and be encouraged, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to prophets. Let's read that in the LSV. And prophets, let two or three speak, and let the others discern. And if anything may be revealed to another who is sitting, let the first be silent, for you are able one by one all to prophesy, and that all may learn and all may be exhorted. and the spiritual gift of prophets are subject to prophets. And you think, well, you know, prophets, that's you know, Old Testament times of the apostles. No. It's not the charismatic, I have a gift, you know, a word from the Lord, whatnot. Where we see prophet has multiple meanings, because there is the prophet, the one who speaks from God, the word comes from prophetess. So you know, it's a prophet is pretty much close to the Greek, which comes from pro, that is, you know, in front of, kind of, you know, which we see in English, and phemi, which is the idea, to show or to make known. In other words, to make known forward, or you might also say to proclaim, which is when you speak what God has said, it is not you're speaking something new scripture, but you're simply, if you're speaking the scripture, you are being prophetic in this sense. The contents of saying in 3 years this will happen, no, that is also being prophetic. But anyway, the word is broad. It's like the word archi. It has a wide context, and you have to look at it in context. So anyway, the whole idea there is it's not a person. It's not the pastor. And I've heard it argued that pastor as a title is apparently, and I it's from the top of my head, only seen once. You know, there's the duty to shepherd the flock, because that's what a pastor is, a shepherd. And but it's not, it doesn't, it is no implication that you're the guy in front of the pulpit, because there's no call for the pulpit. You know, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. So in other words, there is the challenge. You said, the Lord told me that tomorrow is going to rain. And, you know, because, and you know, you have a sunny day tomorrow, and it's kind of like, you're speaking. Well, again, then you go back to the Old Testament. If I say the Lord says that this will happen and it doesn't come to pass, I'm a fraud. I mean, one error and you're a fraud. If you say, thus says the Lord kind of thing, you can read what the Lord says, but to proclaim the Lord told me this and you're wrong once, you're a fraud. I mean, again, that's Deuteronomy 25. Is that right? Why am I doing this? Anyway, I won't look at it for now. Okay, but the point is, I think we often look at this worship service. It is the traditions of men. Again, I will proclaim. I will claim what happened is, because again, you look at the Gospels, you look at when Jesus went into a synagogue, which was not a building, quite possibly somebody's home, or it could have been a place that was designated. That's not made clear. But went to a gathering and read the scripture, read Isaiah, and, you know, stopped midpoint and said, this is fulfilled in your hearing. And the important thing is the scripture was handed to him by the attendant. In other words, it wasn't, David Jeremiah, his pastor out of San Diego, who said, he was talking about, we have the Apostle Paul coming to speak to us today, kind of thing. Nothing like that. You're taking the modern context and putting it back there. It wasn't that way. It is somewhat similar to you might call it, compare it to the open pulpit idea, but I don't think it's the need to go up to the pulpit because, it is just to speak in turns. And you know, the idea of the tongues, it's not that. It is, you know, somebody speaks well, like tomorrow, somebody speaks in Russian and somebody has to interpret. If not, you keep quiet. But anyway, I really think, so I won't continue on that because that's going to be real short. Everything's in place to go tomorrow night to the Russian church. And it's really weird. It's really weird because they have an English service and a Russian service. And I'm going to the Russian gathering, which will be a little difficult. Wednesday evening gathering. So this is not the Sunday service. It's Wednesday evening Bible study. But again, to be actually invited was just marvelous. And so there'll probably be some clumsiness. I may put my foot in my mouth. It may happen more than once, you know, but at least going to try. And I hope to be a mutual encouragement. But I wanted to be prepared. So I went online, found their website. You know, again, this is stuff I used to do. they have a YouTube channel, which they haven't used in a year. And they have a Facebook. And that's where they're putting their videos of their Sunday morning services, because they have a Russian and the English, and they're both online. So it's kind of like, okay, I have to be careful, because here's this geek coming. And because of the fact that I am very aware, when they put themselves on Facebook or even YouTube, what they've done is said, here, take control of us and we will submit. I mean, really. Because if you put it on YouTube or Facebook and you say the wrong thing, you're gone. So by making the investment into Facebook, as they have, it's a problem. It's a big problem. Plus, they're encouraging their congregation to use Facebook, if they use it as a way of communications and so forth. It's an addiction. It is destructive to the culture. And I will contend it's something the Christian community should definitely avoid. You know, people say, oh, it's an outreach. It's a way to communicate and so forth. There are other ways to do that electronically. Emails, obvious. Hosting your own website to push out the video is obvious. Unless you have the massive crowds, you don't need the Facebooks or the YouTubes. And there are alternatives, but still, you don't need that. Because what you're doing is saying, okay, I will use that platform, but I'll be muzzled. And I'm also going to let the institution, the other institutions, corporate, government, the intelligence community, know about my congregation. I am going to turn my congregation into the state. I'm a snitch. If you put your church on Facebook, you're a snitch. That's a really, really big deal. Do I say that tomorrow? Maybe the opportunity won't be there. If it is, do I jump in? This is a serious concern. But I downloaded a couple of videos I downloaded one of the Russian just to go through it a little bit. I'm like, and I would say that the Russian is all Greek to me. But so there is the issue. How do you engage them on this? And what kind of church are they? So I looked at the Russian. I did download a song because, you know, and I downloaded one worship service, and they had a guest pastor. So I downloaded another one because I went from the guy that's there, not the guest, but the guest, a missionary. And there were issues. And that's why I'm very grateful that Chris should be there tomorrow, because he could be my muzzle. You know, because I listened to the service, started with the music. You know, there was the prayer, the gathering for the tithes and offerings. You know, offerings are one thing, the tithe is theft. Because it's for the Levites and it was food. The tithe is theft. And is it prudent to avoid that? They dismissed the kids to the Sunday school and put them in the hands of the Sunday school teachers. And I'm thinking, Jesus said, call no man teacher. You know, it's... but, you know, I have heard some speakers that really... When they engage you in something, let's open the scripture and look at what it says. Not, let me tell you a bunch of pleasant stories. This guy basically told a bunch of pleasant stories. Referred to a couple of verses, and at least one of them, I think he misused. So, he did point out one thing, because he went through Jonah. He did point out one thing that I wasn't aware of. So, you know, I'm grateful for that. But it concerns me. And then I weighed in my mind, do I miss this? Again, I haven't been to a worship service in about 4 years. Do I miss this? Watching that, not at all. Not at all. Am I missing anything? Not a thing. Because they spend about an hour, hour and a half. So much fluff. The depth wasn't there. Nothing, you know, we went to a whole lot deeper in our hike up to Big Frog Mountain than any of the stuff that I've heard. Dramatically deeper. And it's constant. But there's that in-depth theology, but then there's the fellowship aspect. And I'd rather spend an hour and a half, which I have, with Miss Lillian, than sitting in a congregation. I'm listening. Oh, we stand up and sing now. No, I'm sorry. The Lord doesn't call for that. You know, again, true religion, true worship is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself unstained from the world. I'm concerned that I don't put my foot in my mouth again tomorrow. Because it's a problem. It's a real problem, I think. And then, of course, I don't want to argue the whole case. The plan is to go tomorrow. Because it's supposed to rain too, I'm very grateful that Chris is coming to. So, you know, we drive instead of the pouring rain, and instead of doing it at night. It really messed up my week. the preparation yesterday, the preparation today, and there'll probably be more preparation tomorrow. Because my purpose is not the flanikos, to triumph over a friend. My purpose is to go and encourage. The purpose is to find especially someone who will challenge me where I'm wrong with all patience, and someone who will maybe open the door to perhaps some relationships, especially with young people. You know, the reality is, I think I've had more of an influence, more relationship with Alex, with Trey, with was it Meredith and one guy, Faison or something, the integer, some others. I don't, you know, terrible names anyway. But Brian. He was probably in his 20s. Met him a couple times. We didn't have an in-depth conversation, but we did have a little bit of a conversation. This is the guy who, because I mentioned it in one of my voicemails, as I was starting a hike, he offered me a ride. And, you know, I thought it was strange because, again, it goes back to the Black Families Matter thing talked about yesterday. He was a young Black guy. He comes up to this old white guy, offers him a ride. You know, which, you know, the news media would say, no, that doesn't happen. But I declined, but we had a brief interaction. And the point I made at that time is it was cool. It was a winterish time. Pulled off my gloves. I was wearing gloves and shook his hand purposely, in order to establish that bond. And we met several times later. And so, I mean, that was marvelous. I haven't seen him in a while, but it was marvelous. It really is. And those are the things, I really think those are the things that count. Because you can't develop an in-depth relationship with a crowd of 50 or 100. You can develop an in-depth relationship with a dozen. Who did that? Who had an in-depth relationship with a dozen people? Oh, that's a couple thousand years ago. That doesn't matter. Anyway, I continue to strive to find others. A lot of clumsiness. But again, I will claim, you go back to the first couple centuries after the Gospels, you have the home fellowships and the persecution of the home fellowships. And then the Constantine basically bought the church, and which became the Roman Catholic Church. And in that, part of the thing that happened is the monologue. You know, sitting in the pews with a monologue. The only thing that I am concerned about is the music aspect. And I think we get the music aspect from, you know, after they finish their meal, they sing a hymn and so forth. But I listened to the worship service they had and the music, and it was that repetitive stuff over and over again. The one that's been described, it's the Jesus and my girlfriend kind of idea. Ah, no! No, it's, you know, so much of the fluff stuff's out there. I still one of my favorite songs. In Christ alone, my hope is found. Or, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. That's a really, really big deal. But anyway, tomorrow. So I'll probably call early tomorrow. Leave a 3-minute voicemail or less, and then go to a church. My lady, my wife, I love you. Come join me.